Several weeks ago, we looked at a movie called Wreck-It Ralph, and we saw very simply that we do not have to remain bad. Bad people can become good. And today we're going to be looking at an animated film that comes from 2013, the DreamWorks film called The Croods. And The Croods are just your average family, of cavemen. And as I was going to look at the trailer in just a moment, we find that the Croods are members of this prehistoric world in the caveman kind of setting. And Grug, whose voice is voiced over by Nicolas Cage, whose voice is the person we know, is a person who's the father of the family. And he's very cautious, very overprotective. He's always telling the family not to be afraid. His wife's name is Ugga, and she wants food, and so Grug will go out, but he never will venture very far from the cave. In fact, he says, for me, he says, it's my job to worry, it's my job to follow the rules. And so there's no holidays for him, there's no days off. I mean, that's just the way it was in caveman time. His job was to keep his family safe, to keep them safe from the predators, never take risks, and Grug says, never, never, ever leave home. But the story of it is that there's one daughter, whose name is Ip, who actually, a very precocious daughter, who one day decides that she wants to leave the cave. And so she leaves the cave and she meets Boy, okay? And Boy knows how to make fire, okay? And so that there just creates a lot of curiosity. But this boy, whose name is Guy, knows how to make fire, and he has a dream, he has a mission, he has a purpose for living. And he tells Ep that the world as they know it is coming to an end, but there's something that's more beautiful and something that's more fantastic. And so he may not fully understand everything, he may not fully comprehend everything, but he's on a mission to help share the good news with others, and he introduces Ep to this world that's beautiful, absolutely fantastic, just out of this world. All right, never ever leave the cave. And of course, Ep left the cave, and eventually Grug and the family found something beautiful and wonderful. But as I look at this this movie, and I see this picture of the Croods standing there on the mountaintop with this beautiful, beautiful scene before them, I thought of the words of the prophet Isaiah when he said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news and who proclaims peace, who brings good tidings of good things, which proclaims salvation." Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the Message, puts it this way: it's a sight to take your breath away. It's a sight to take your breath away. Grand processions of people telling all the good things of God. You know, as I think about the gospel message that we have and the gospel message that we have heard, it tells us of great things and it takes my breath away. Because we have good news, and wouldn't it be great if we had a grand procession of all of us people telling the world of all the good things that God has done to bring light into the midst of darkness, to bring peace into the midst of a troubled world, to bring hope into the midst of a world that despairs. We have a wonderful, glorious message that the world needs to hear, and we as a people of God are called to go and tell. I think about one of Jesus' sermons. It was his famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. It was preached from the Mount of Beatitudes, and it's a beautiful setting. If you've been there, the Sea of Galilee lays before you, and there's just a cool breeze that comes across. And Jesus, as he stood there that day, sharing the gospel message from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7 is how Matthew paraphrases it and puts it. He sort of condenses it all. And he shares the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then he makes this wonderful statement. He says, you know what, guys? You are to be salt, and you are to be light in the midst of this world. You are to be salt that flavors this world, and you are to be light, and you do not set a light under a bushel basket and keep the light from shining. You let all the world see it. And again, Eugene Peterson puts it this way in the Message. He says, let me tell you why you're here. In other words, do you want to know why you are here on this planet? You want to know what your purpose is, what your mission is? You really want to know, he says, you're here to be the salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this world. Here's another way to put it, he says, you're here to be the light bringing out the God colors of this world. And then he says this, God is not a secret to be kept. That word just stands out to me. God is not a secret to be kept. We are to go and tell, be salt, and be light. And Guy understood that in the story of the cruise, because he was a person who experienced these wonderful things, this wonderful world. And he tells stories, and he tells of Grug's family these stories of these wonderful things. And the word that passes from his lips are always these words: come with me, come with me, come with me, let me show you something. And I think of the psalmist who says, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. That's our message. That's our call as a people of God, to say to other people, come and see. Let me show you something so wonderful that you're not going to believe it. Taste and see. And that's what evangelism is all about. It's merely sharing with someone else something beautiful that we've experienced about the grace of God. How Jesus Christ has taken our lives, our crumbled up lives, and made them whole in his presence. And how he walks with me and talks with me on the valleys, on the mountains. How his grace is all sufficient for me. That's what evangelism is. It's sharing my life story of my walk with Jesus Christ and who Jesus is to me. It's another way of saying, let me show you something wonderful. That's what it's all about. Now, how do we get there? How do we get from being a person like Guy who says, let me show you something wonderful, come with me, to actually doing that? And I want us to turn to the book of Matthew today, and I've got it up here on the screen. You can read it or you can look at the screen. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35 and following. And this is a very familiar story, because we are told many times throughout the Gospels that Jesus went about the cities and villages. But it says he went about the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You know, that's good news. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. And I just want to say this, that the word compassion comes from the word splen or spleen. And here in the midsection, we have the spleen, and we have the pancreas, and we have the liver, and we have the stomach, and it all works right here. But every one of us have had these feelings in our stomach. For many of you guys, many of you women who stood here at this altar and you said those words, I do, you had butterflies in your stomachs, right? And your stomach and your abdominal area just sort of quivered. Your liver quivered, you know, and you were, wow, what am I doing? But your gut's right here. You feel it in your gut. You feel it wrenching. You feel it tossing. You feel it turning. And so when we talk about Jesus having compassion, it means he felt it right here. He felt it right here. The opposite of compassion is apathy. Apathy or stoicism. I don't really care. I don't have any feelings. I don't have any concern at all for anybody else. But it says Jesus was moved with compassion. He felt it right here. He felt it right here in his gut area. And it says here, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So let's look at this passage of Scripture and see what it says to us about being an evangelist and what we are learning from Jesus about reaching those who are down and out, those who are tossed about. How do we reach them? First of all, we need to see people as Jesus sees people. It says when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. When he saw those nameless, faceless people, he was moved with compassion. I mean, this is not something that he has to work up. You know, for us, we have to really be intentional about this. But Jesus, as the Son of God, really did see people. He saw those nameless, faceless people behind the walls, behind the doors of your community, at the workplace, behind the desk, behind the counter, at the stamping machine, whatever it might be, he saw those individuals. And the first step that we need to incorporate in our lives, if we're going to reach out and tell someone about this beautiful, wonderful news that we have, is that we have to see as Jesus sees. We have to have the eyes of Jesus to really observe them. And when I think about Jesus and the Samaritan woman, John chapter 4, here was this woman who came to him, and she was broken down, and she had just been having a tough time relationally. And he shared with her how she could have living water. And she came to this realization that Jesus was the answer to her life. And it says that she went back to the village, sharing with the villagers that she had met Jesus, who had changed her life. But shortly after that story are these words that we find here in Matthew. He says very simply that we are to lift up our eyes into the harvest and see that the fields are white to be harvested. In other words, there are people in need. And I think about how it is that Jesus sees every person who is lost, every person who is unsaved. Over 60 to 70% of Delaware County is unchurched. There's so many people around us. Jesus, give us eyes to see the hurts and the wounds and the agony of the people around us so that we might be able to reach out and touch them. But he wants us to lift up our eyes and to see. So he says, first of all, he saw the multitudes. And then secondly, it says that we must feel as people feel, or we must feel for people as Jesus feels. And it says there, when he saw them, he had compassion upon them. So we have to develop this heart of Jesus that feels for other people, that has compassion. Just as a good Samaritan came down the highway one day and he saw this man who was beaten up. The religious leaders crossed the side and walked down the way. It was the Samaritan who came by and saw this person wounded and picked them up and took them to that hotel, that motel, and there had someone take care of their own needs. But notice again, if you look in the Bibles, it says when he saw the multitudes, it says he had compassion upon them. Why? Because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep with no shepherd. They were weary and they were scattered like sheep who had no shepherd. And so we have to see beneath the surface of their own feeling, because a lot of times people hide things. And so we need to see that. Now notice the words weary and scattered. It's interesting to notice what those words mean. To say that they're weary means that they're harassed. That's what the word means, they're harassed. Okay, they're physically exhausted, they're mentally troubled, they're beat up, they're distressed, and they're stressed. How many of you have ever been stressed out about life? Well, he says there's a lot of people who are stressed out. On the outside, people are on them. On the inside, they're feeling stressed as well. So you have pressures on the outside, you have pressures on the inside, and you're just going to explode. And so we find here that they're harassed on a daily basis, 24/7. It also says they're helpless. And the word means downcast. And I think about the commercial, and this is really not a funny commercial, but we make fun of it. I've fallen and I can't get up. What we find here is that it's downcast. And so if you look at Paul in the Corinthian letters, he talks about being downcast. And notice the reference here. He says, they're weary and scattered, or helpless and harassed like sheep having no shepherd. So when we talk about being downcast, we're actually talking about a sheep who has become cast. And a cast sheep is one who's been out playing around, and the sheep fell down. He fell over. And trying to get back up, the sheep couldn't get back up, and so the sheep rolled over onto his back, and he becomes a cast sheep. And a cast sheep will die if they're not rolled back over on their feet, because the gases will build up in their stomachs, and it will eventually suffocate them. And so Jesus says, these are people like cast sheep. You know, they have fallen, they can't get up. We need to come along. We need to rescue them. If nobody reaches out and rescues them, they will die in their sins. And so he says we must feel as he feels, with compassion for those lost sinners. I mean, do we have that heart for Jesus, or for a people like Jesus had? Do we feel for people like Jesus felt? I think in Luke 19 it says he came into the city of Jerusalem one day. And it says as he looked over Jerusalem, it says he began to weep. He began to weep. When was the last time you wept for someone who was lost? When was the last time you wept and shed tears for someone who was going through a difficult time and who needed Jesus as the answer? When was the last time you shed tears? We must feel for people as Jesus feels. Then thirdly here, as I look at this, we must do for people what Jesus asked us to do. And he says here, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the field or into the harvest. And so we look at this, we look at all these people out here, and we're saying, how can we do it? There's too many to reach. Well, we just basically need each one to reach one. But notice he says, it begins with prayer. What's impossible with men is possible with God. I don't do the converting, neither do you. Jesus does. All we're meant to do is to introduce them. But he says, pray for the Lord of the harvest. And we're to pray that he will send out laborers into the field. And I want to say very simply this morning, you're not just praying that I will go out into the harvest. I don't have a great big John Deere tractor to go out and harvest all these people. I need help. This is the old-fashioned way. You know, everybody has to come together. You remember those old harvesting parties? Some of you, I'm not old that old, but I heard about the harvesting parties. You remember that? And the whole clan came in, the whole community came in, and they harvested the fields. And then they had a great big dinner and meal. Am I not right? You know, how many of you remember that kind of thing? That's what we're meant to do. We're all meant to come in, and we're all meant to be a part of the harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Not just the pastor does it, or the lay leader does it, but that I'm also willing to say, Lord, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. You know, to take advantage of the opportunities before us to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because when God says, Jesus says, go into all the world, that is not an option for us. It's a command. Go into all the world and share the good news, share the message, and teach the world how to become disciples of mine. You see, what he's saying here is this. If the kingdom of God is going to win, you and I have to be a part of that mission. We need to be the mouth of Jesus. We need to be the hands of Jesus. We need to have the heart of Jesus. We need to have the feet of Jesus. We need to go. It's not just the other person that goes. We all go because we're all part, and we are all living witnesses, living testimonies to the kingdom of God. But you know, again, I think of that phrase, God is not a secret to be kept. We are not a secret organization. We don't have a secret message. God is not a secret to be kept. We are to go into all the world, and we are to tell everybody. I think about this. I think about how we have a secret. How many of you have ever had you were going to have a surprise birthday party for your wife, perhaps. And you took your little daughter or son along with you, and you went out and you bought some ice cream and cake. You bought some balloons. You bought a gift. And you came home, and you walked through that door, and you told your little daughter, said, now, honey, please, please, whatever you do, don't tell mommy because this is going to be a surprise. And the first thing through the door, your mommy sees you, your wife sees you, and said, oh, where you been? Oh, I can't tell you, mommy. I can't tell you. It's a secret. It's a secret. But I'll tell you, it does have ice cream and cake and balloons and all sorts of good things. But I can't tell you what it is because it's a surprise. You know, sometimes we need to have the mentality of that small child. We just can't keep it secret. God is too good to be kept a secret. Go tell, be salt, be light in the midst of this world. And so here is Guy. And he sees this beautiful world before him. And he tells this daughter of Grug to come and see. Let me show you something that's beautiful. And at the end of the story, at the end of the movie, you have Grug with his family standing here on the mountain looking at this wonderful sight to behold. And I see that as nothing more than the kingdom of God stretched out before us, that the grace of Jesus Christ is there evident before us. It shines in all of its brightness. But here I think about Guy, and Guy basically says this, will you come along with me? Let's come with me. Let me show you something that's beautiful. Will you invite someone on the journey with you? Will you invite someone on your faith journey with you? Will you invite them to walk with you as you also share Jesus Christ? Because when that person comes into the kingdom of God and they experience that hope, that peace, that life, that joy, there will be nothing that excites you more than seeing that person who was broken up and who was harassed and who was helpless and who was downcast find life, find hope in Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is about. That's what evangelism is all about. It's saying, let me show you something. Jesus has changed my life. Let me show you something. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And sharing with others this beautiful, wonderful message of God's grace. That is good news, friends. That is good news. It's not what the morning paper spills out for us. This is news that far exceeds that. It's good news. And we have been given the opportunity to be His ambassadors like Guy, to tell all those Grugs who say, I want to stay in my house. You know, I don't want to venture out. No, there's something wonderful that waits for us out there. And friends, I want to say this one more thing. We don't need to stay in our cave any longer. We must not stay in our cave. We need to go beyond these walls because there's a whole world out there that we need to invite on the journey with us. Will you do it? Will you invite someone on the journey with you? Will you pray for laborers in the harvest? Will you pray that God work a mighty miracle and bring 60 to 70% of those unchurched people into the churches of Jesus Christ today? Wow, you know, wouldn't that be a great day to celebrate with God? Great day. We're going to close with this song, and this is called People Need the Lord. And the verse says, every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Notice they have the eyes of Jesus. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where, Only they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides the silent cries. Only Jesus hears. We need to pray for the ears of Jesus. We need to pray for the eyes of Jesus. Lord God, I pray this morning as we conclude this service, that as we sing this last song, that Father God, you will help the words impress it upon our hearts and minds. That we will be given the eye awakening news that wow, we have good news. And that all we are invited to do is to tell people, come and see, let me show you something wonderful. Jesus has come. He has come to make us new. He has come to give us life. Father, I pray that you will help us be evangelists, be people who share our story. And may the world come to know that Jesus is Lord and Savior. Amen.